Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome to Adulting, the podcast where we discuss how the ever-changing world around us is impacting our understanding of ourselves, our beliefs, and also our peers. And on the topic of peers, I have a very good friend of mine with me today. You might already know her. She's called Grace. Grace Hello. Fit UK. Would you like to introduce yourself?
So I'm Grace. I'm a really good friend of Anoni, I hope. And my social media name is Grace Fit UK, but my actual name is Grace Beverly. Fit UK is not my official surname.
No.
And what I do?
Yeah, tell us about you.
So I'm a full-time student at Oxford and I study music, but I'm also a social media influencer.
We hate the word
so much, though it does make sense. But yeah, I'm a social media gal, so I do YouTube, Instagram, all the social medias. And then I basically have kind of business stuff associated with that.
Yeah, so Grace is 21, but she is probably one of the most adult out of my friends, which is strange, but she's just, I mean, I tell her off for doing too much and then it makes me feel really bad because she's just one of those people that just constantly works and she's really business minded and really mature, which is interesting because obviously in this podcast we've been talking a lot about how it doesn't really matter what age you are, everyone comes to different points at different times. But I guess growing up for you, we grew up quite differently.
Yeah, I definitely grew up very young. Like I was very self-sustained from probably, I moved to London at the age of 13, and from that point I lived with, it was me and my mum, but my mum is a very career orientated woman.
Yeah.
And she is always traveling and things like that, so I basically kind of lived alone the majority of the time with her. So I have always cooked my own meals, done my own grocery shopping, booked my own doctor's appointments, dentists and shit, but just like the little things, but yeah, kind of from the age of 13, it was kind of me, myself and I.
It's very apparent in how we do stuff though, because my mum, God love her, she's fucking amazing, but she's very coddling. So there's aspects of myself which are probably a bit spoiled, which I don't like. But you learn those things about yourself and you've got to grow out of them. Whereas Grace is really, really self-sufficient, knows exactly how to do stuff on your own. And so that it's interesting that impact can, like how you're brought up really impacts how you grow up.
Oh, 100%. And I think there are lots of people who I know who come from completely different backgrounds who may have had very similar upbringing to you, for example, even though it's from a completely different background, just in the way that like parents act towards people. And I think it definitely affects how kind of quickly you grow up. I do know that a lot of my friends who weren't necessarily very self-sufficient and did kind of often have parents picking them up from school or making their dinner every night and things like that, absolutely nothing wrong with that, but I know that I feel like that was never like an adulting hurdle I had to overcome. It was
you
cook your dinner.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't have your dinner. So yeah.
Yeah. So apart from parental relationships, we've actually got Grace, I've got Grace on the podcast today to talk about friendships because it's something that you guys are always asking me about. So we're going to kind of go through the stages of friendships, especially female friendships. I think they're really quite tricky.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to discuss. So off air, we're so cool, we were talking about how at school you're kind of thrust into relationships with people and you have to maintain them.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because outside, when you lose that kind of momentum of people being put in like right in front of your vision and you have to make friends with them, you then realize that actually it's up to you to go out and make friends. On the other side of that, it's that you might get put into a group which actually really aren't people that you're necessarily aligned with in your beliefs, but they become your kind of lifelong friends.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your experience growing up at school, friendship-wise?
So I moved schools a lot. Mm. I went to 5 different schools. So I did kind of... I guess I did often have that kind of experience of making new friends quite quickly, but in terms of basically having to, otherwise yeah. you just eat lunch in the loo. And so, yeah, but also I feel like there are certain friends who I've been friends with for a very long time, but I don't have any friends that I'm still friends with from before I moved to London, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
I guess because it wasn't in London, but also, as in, I know people still, but yeah, I feel like in general... it is such a different environment because you do literally get put in like this little melting pot
yeah.
and get told that one, you kind of don't really need to give anything to a friendship to maintain it because you'll see them exactly. every day. But also you do need to, like, if there is like a falling out or something, you do need to sort it out as soon as possible. You're probably not going to not be friends
yeah.
again. And like, there are lots of issues I find from like not being in that situation, though obviously there were many issues from that being that in that situation too, especially if you, say, weren't someone who thrived off school type relationships
yeah.
or if you went to like a very cliquey school, especially I guess anywhere with girls will be quite cliquey, just in the nature of friendship groups.
So I think what a lot of you guys were saying is it can be really difficult if you know people who've had really long standing friendships from their youth and they're still like going into adulthood very close friends, which is a lot easier, I guess, if you work where you went to school or where you lived. But mm-hmm. for the majority of people, you do move out and it means that you might lose those long term friendships. And then what happens is you've got to reach out and make new friends. And this is really daunting because for some reason, it's absolutely fine to go on a night out and try and pull someone or to go on a dating app and try and find like the love of your life. But God forbid you try and find like a friend.
Yeah.
It's just so taboo.
Like, go for coffee with.
Yeah.
Just like have a night in and do some face masks. And those kind of people, I do find it is so weird. Like straight after school, I did go into work rather than uni, and even then work friends aren't the same as school friends.
No.
Which is so weird because you kind of think well, you're with them the same amount of time, you're there kind of 9 to 5 or whatever the hours would be, probably even longer, and you're friends with these people because you're put in this kind of area where you're meant to be friends with them, but it's not the same as school friends. Like, you don't actually, that's not usually the center of
well,
your life.
Not,
I mean, it
yeah.
might be, but it's not, you're not necessarily at the same stages of your life. Some people might be married with children.
I guess also with school, like so much of your school life is surrounded around friendship groups and peer groups and things. And maybe also if you're someone who hasn't learned how to make those friends at school, it can be very difficult when you leave then to understand.
Yeah, 100%. I think also, yeah, there are just so many different types of people in terms of who, like, how you make friends. It's
yeah.
very, it could be very, very, very difficult for someone to just walk into a room and say, even just say hi to people, let alone actually establish something that you could then be like, yeah, I'll call you next week, let's go for coffee or something.
Yes.
Like, the thought of that honestly makes me want to break out in a sweat.
Well, I think some of the things that I've learned recently, which really shocks me, is that exact thing. So when I'll meet someone and then they'll be like, oh, can I take your number or something, we'll meet at an event, and they'll genuinely reach out to me and say, can we go get a coffee? And when this first happened to me, it was literally like this year, I was so taken aback because I was like, I guess a little bit of me was like, I don't really get the point of this.
Right. Like, I completely understand. Also, because it's just so, like, where do the friendship boundaries kind of go? Like, do you have to be, like, best friends?
Yeah.
Or can you be kind of, like, acquaintance friends? Or, and I feel like there are some people who do know everyone.
Yeah.
And I just...
But it's quite nice, no, because I never really realised you could do this. You can basically kind of date friends. So you can meet new people, ask someone to go for a coffee. It's not that weird. And the worst thing that's going to happen is they say no. But you can actually, we just have this really weird thing where we're like, oh my God, I can't possibly, it'd be so embarrassing if
right.
I tried to make
especially
friends
if
with
you
someone.
Just met someone once. You feel like you have to be forced into kind of a school type situation
yeah.
with them for like a week or a few days at like a work thing, or because your friends are friends or something, to actually then be friends. It's so odd, the concept of friends. It's literally just relation.
Well, yeah, it's like a relationship, but I think the other thing that people struggle or don't always notice is that when you have friends, you'll have, like, I have certain friends for certain things. It's not like they're literally allocated in little pots. Right. And I'm like, this is my party friend. But in some ways, I will have a very close friend who, if I'm upset about something, like, really, really personal, I'll go to them. Or if I have another friend that I want to have fun with, I'll go to them. And I think a lot of friendship struggles happen when you put too much onus on one or a couple of friends to kind of do all of everything.
100%.
And it's just not feasible.
No, I think that's so true. And also because then, I think it's very, like, I think one of the things I always found difficult as someone who moved schools a lot was that people will, lots of people will always have their lifelong friends and they'll also have, like, a best friend. And I felt like until I kind of progressed a bit later through school, I never was someone who was, like, seen as in, like, a little pair, like a best friend person. And I was always so jealous of those people because they do put everything on each other and they know everything and they will always be the go-to person. And if you're not in a kind of, like, pair or, like, trio or something like that, you might not ever be the go-to person to, like, go to an event with someone or to do, I don't know, to be invited on holiday or, like, that type of thing. And it is just, it's so different. And also some people very much may have friends in their adult life that they have been friends with since they were two. And even if you get on really well with them, you might never even be able to, like, compete in terms of the amount you can, like, offer to them in terms of a friendship. So it's, I think it's all a bit...
No, I agree, because where I live, annoying, so I went to a school that was a boarding school, but I didn't board, so I was a day student, but where we lived was literally the middle of nowhere, so when I came home from school, there was no one there to, like, play with. Like, I don't have, when people are like, oh, I'm going to go see my friends at home, I don't have home friends, because where I went to school, no one lived there,
right,
and where I live, no one lived. So that concept, for me, was something I was always really jealous of, the fact that people would have a really strong community of people they'd known forever. So my school friends I've known for so long, but there wasn't, like... It was, like, very much they all live across the country.
That's,
and
it's kind of
very
the same
spread
as
out.
Uni, I guess.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's similar to uni. And the other thing, I think the problem with close friendships, like you're talking about, the best friend thing, it's so romanticized in movies, especially, like, American movies and all these sleepover clubs.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
When you're younger, I don't know if the pressure's put so much on guys, but when you're younger as a girl, there is this, like, horrible overarching feeling that you've really, like, failed at life if you don't have this absolute best friend or group that is so stable.
Right, or yeah, at least like a little group of like 3-4 of you or like whatever who then do things. And I do know people now who do still kind of have those groups.
Yeah.
And you see them and you're like, you kind of do get a bit jealous of like the fact that they will always have that bond or that like one or two people they can go to and just go and, I don't know, like cry about a breakup or things like that. And I think absolutely, like, you might have that with other people, or as you said, kind of put people into like different categories, not like not knowing you're doing it, but in terms of who you would go to for things. But having someone so kind of strong just there, kind of like a sister or that type of thing.
Well, it's funny, because I was at my sister's birthday last night, it's her 29th birthday, and her group of friends is like, there was 14 of them there last night, but they're all best friends from school and they've been best friends since they were like 12.
That's so crazy.
And they always hang out. Now some of them are having babies, two of them are pregnant, and they're all still this exact same group of girls. And actually the girls from my school are all really close, but I didn't see them as much when I went to uni because I was in Cardiff, and so they've stayed really close, and I do still see them. But it's really funny because I think that's actually really unusual to have those lasting friendships.
And I don't know why, but like, I know I have really good friends now and stuff, but that still makes me like jealous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because I'm not really a jealous person, but no. It's more the fact that the comfort of that is kind of like having a family outside of family who you can go to about everything, and you do kind of know that those people will always be there, rather than just being like, oh god, like, what am I, like, even in just in terms of occupying your time at the weekends or that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think also a big thing with that is if you're not in a relationship, having close friends, I mean, having close friends is always important, but I feel like I have always been such an independent person, and now I'm in a relationship, I obviously prioritise my relationship. And then you think, like, if your boyfriend's out of town for like a week or 2 weeks or something, and you're like, and I'll probably see this friend then and that friend then, and you realise you have like two really good
friends
who are
at
least based in one place.
Yeah, well, I think this is one of the things, one of my faults was when I was younger, I think I used to get into relationships and then I'd very much let my friendships go by the wayside. And I didn't realise until I got older, it was actually probably from my most recent breakup. I'm still with my boyfriend now, we haven't literally just broken up, but the one before that, God, I sound awful. But I suddenly went, oh my God, like he wasn't even that great. And now I get to see all these people and I just made this conscious effort to reach out to all of these people.
I think that is kind of the best part of the breakup.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I can fill my life with all these people that I've kind of left, because that's the problem with relationships. You get kind of so sucked in, especially in the first year, and you get so obsessed with them that you forget that you've had these people. And luckily, all these people still were there for me and we've rekindled these friendships, and I'm so grateful but for that.
I feel like often that is a thing as well that isn't always the case when you say, oh, moving on from school or uni, is that they very much may not be there. They may have moved on with their life in kind of in terms of like settling down or something, but they also may have kind of, you know, not much interest in being friends for no reason other than the fact that they have a huge friend group or they have loads of people that they were friends with, and actually you didn't really prioritise them when you were in a relationship. And I think that's one of the really difficult things as well about not being kind of forced to be really good friends with someone or see someone every day, is that when you then come out of that situation, it's not really like, surprise, I'm back, sorry guys, I shouldn't have done that or whatever. They may not actually be there, or they may have moved to a different city, or, you know, and then that might be even worse as part of a breakup.
Yeah, because you have no one.
That you genuinely have no one, or have to kind of start meaningful fresh relationships, or you feel like you can't talk about certain things with new friends.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things I found growing up, even the last like few years, was taking culpability for my actions within friendships. So that can be anything from maybe not being there for friends when they needed me and then expecting them being there for me, sure, to also realizing that everyone has really different priorities. So I've in the past like had an argument with a friend because I felt like they should have done XYZ for me, and I really couldn't understand, because I would do that for them, why they wouldn't do it for me. But people are so different that I might not realize that actually they do a plethora of loads of other things that I don't really notice. And it's just everyone prioritizes different things. So for me, there's certain things in a friendship that I always make sure I give and always make sure I do, and because I'm so focused on that, If they didn't do it, I feel a bit slighted. But actually what you've got to realise is you've got to take like ownership of how you're being as a friend. So for instance, it would be like, you have to realise that when you're feeling low or like you feel like no one's around you, how many times had a friend text you and been like, and you just couldn't bother to, I'm really bad at it,
well,
someone
like,
texts me.
Talk about it now,
yeah, or you just can't be bothered to reply and you're just like, oh, I'll speak to them later, but you never know what someone else is going through.
100%.
And I think growing up makes you realise that actually I'm trying to be so present in all of my friendships, because it is a two-way street. And I think when you're in your teens, it's really different because you're very self-absorbed, like your brain's developing and everything's about learning about yourself. And it can be really hard to be present in those friendships. And what you'll realise is as you get older, you need to work. It's like 100%. Any other relationship.
And also realising that it doesn't necessarily have to be kind of what would look like a level playing field in terms of the amount you reach out or that type of thing. It's very important, I feel like, in adult friendships to be able to understand and not be kind of bitter or upset about the fact that you might always be the person who reaches out, definitely not because they don't want to or anything, but because they don't think like that. They won't reach out. They think that they also, I'm kind of speaking as well from experience, is that I know that because I keep myself so busy, often for ages I actually won't reach out to people at all, and I'll just be very absorbed in my work and stuff. And I would love nothing more than to have like a friend pop up, and that's not me being like, but they need to get in contact with me, but more the fact that I literally won't even think about it until it happens, and I'll be like, oh, that's so nice. And I don't mean to not have done that myself, but some people are really like that and some people aren't, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't into the friendship or that they don't want to do something or that they don't really care about you. It might just be that you're very different and you deal with things differently, or you just don't think about reaching out even though you'd love to do something and just don't do anything about it, you know?
I think it's that classic thing as well, which is I've used to fall victim to so much at uni when I was away from a lot of my friends. I'd be like, oh, they haven't texted me, or like, I haven't been invited to this, when actually I hadn't gone to the last three things I've been invited to, and then hadn't texted any of my friends. And I think this is quite common. And then so one day I made a pledge to myself. I was like, I'm going to be more social. I just text all these people, and I don't know why it took so much pride. I really had to check my ego and be like, just freaking message them. And then they were like, oh my god, how are you, let's do something, let's arrange something. And I suddenly was like, oh my god, these months of angst that I felt like, I feel really left out, so and so's doing this, why aren't I involved? It was all self-perpetuated, because they like you said, they might have had other stuff going on. And I think that's one of the hardest things, is one, saying it out loud, admitting your faults, but that's how you learn to be a better friend, and in turn that's how you then get really long-standing, sustained friendships that will see you through your life.
Yeah, and I think as well at school, kind of in more immature friendships, there is this whole kind of, oh, you should have done this, or you should have been, you shouldn't have, like, left us when you got a boyfriend, or you should have done this, so we're not going to be friends with you now. And I think that is so, I understand if, say, consistently your best friend doesn't talk to you every time they get into a new relationship or something like that, that's not cool. But say if it's something that they got into a really long-term relationship for a good few years and they did just drop off the radar, and actually being able to still be there when their back is a very mature thing, and knowing that probably they wish they hadn't done that too or whatever, and you can very much forgive them for that and move on with the friendship, and there doesn't need to be this kind of, like, you don't need to play the kind of justice warrior who goes, well, actually no, you should have done this, so I'm gonna, like, punish you for that, not in a kind of, in any way other than, like, I'm just gonna be standoffish.
We were talking about this earlier, this whole concept of, like, tit for tat with friendships. I really feel like it should be like, you should just do what you, as much as you want to give, and just not expect anything back.
Right, 100%.
Because the unhealthy thing is, I think sometimes you'll find friendships where it becomes this game of, like, volleyball, where you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and those end up being quite toxic relationships, because actually you're just fulfilling,
you're constantly expecting something
and it's not a real foundational friendship. And I think that maybe brings us onto the idea of the benefit of not being in this situation where you're, like, school, where you're thrown into friendships, is you can choose your friends. You can choose to leave friendships which are hurting you, or which maybe people just change. People change and grow. Someone might get on really well with someone else, and that person might be quite toxic to you. I don't think people are ever really inherently bad, but you might come across someone where you just can't get on with them, but your best friend loves them, and you're like, why don't I get on? But that is so okay. You don't have to like everyone, and not everyone has to like you.
For sure.
And I think that's probably one of the hardest things. You get quite used to it quite quickly doing social media, that not everyone's going to like you.
Yeah, I think also in the kind of realm of toxic friendships, the amount of, as a Twitter warrior, the amount of tweets I see every single day about kind of saying, like, just let toxic friends go, blah, blah, blah. And actually, I'm, like, thinking about it, apart from when I was, like, 14, 15, I have never, from then onwards, never had toxic friendships, whereas I feel like a lot of people I know really, really have, and they still have these kind of friendships where their friends act in certain ways out of, like, jealousy or spite, bitterness or whatever it is, because they, I don't know, they got a new boyfriend who's really, like, cool, or, like, they did really well at something or did better than you at uni, or, like, and I know from when I did have toxic friendships when I was younger, how horrific they are. It's like having a toxic relationship. It's actually soul-destroying. Like, you literally, you feel like you don't belong, but you have to belong, and you have to be friends with these people. And I think the amount of times I see a day, like, just let go of those toxic friendships, like, I think that is such an important thing as well, because I think there is a huge onus put on toxic relationships and the fact that we need to just let them go, and we need to just, you know, get over it and just move on. Whereas I think with friendships as well, that's something that's really, really important, because it's exactly the same as kind of having a relationship, if not, can be even more kind of hurtful, because often you don't talk about things outright and you don't say it in the same way as you would in a relationship, because you might feel like you don't have the right to, because you're just friends, like, and that type of thing.
And I think the other thing that's really important to note is that the problematic side of this is that people, when you have toxic relationships, it doesn't, like, friendships rather, it doesn't mean that person's inherently bad. And also sometimes it might mean that you need to delve in deeper and see what's causing the other person to be upset. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, often I think actually, when it is a toxic relationship, I genuinely think it's always both parties clashing 100%. Rather than one person being a shit friend. And what it'll turn out to be is you've just grown apart, or there's something that doesn't fit with your friendship, and this, we love as humans to put a blame on something, and this is what can tear, like, whole friendship groups apart, because there's the bitching and there's the everything. And I think one of the best things you can do as an adult is, I try to do this with every situation I get into, it's obviously really hard and you can't do it, is, but step outside and look at your impact and what you're doing, because you can't change the things that happen to you, but you can change the way you react to them. And sometimes it's very hard to see your own problematic nature and things, and I think with friendships, that's one of the most important things, is you've got to, I've had to do this in arguments where I'm adamant I'm right, and then I've really gone back and thought about it, and I'm like, shit, actually.
Or at least you can see why they would have interpreted it differently, even if it, say, wasn't if you still stand by what you think, but also can see how it might have really hurt them,
or yeah.
it might have come across in a different way, or it might have like hit a nerve or that type of thing. Yeah, I think that's very true as well. And I think as you grow up, you can do that better. And I think, or as you mature, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really interesting to see friendships as you grow older, because often they are a lot stronger, even if they're newer friendships, just because you can genuinely be mature about it. If you say don't see eye to eye on something, or yeah. you did have a big fallout, you can at least then work your way through it without it being as bitchy. But then again, I did talk to someone earlier about the fact that I was doing this podcast and we were talking about friendships and stuff, and one of the things she said was that she so didn't expect friends to be bitchy when, you know, everyone grew up and moved out of uni yeah. and everything. And people are still very bitchy yeah. and some people will still react in certain ways, still gossip about everything and kind of maybe try and more like turn other people against you if you fall out or that type of thing. And it's so interesting to see that actually certain things from school, as much as many things may change in terms of the way you're kind of forced together or you're made to get on and you're made to make up and that type of thing, there are some things that really do still stay the same, and you may end up being in a kind of toxic situation, not that's ongoing, but more in that some people are quite gossipy yeah. and bitchy, and you might find yourself in some kind of high school type situation. You're like, literally, what the hell is going
on
here?
I haven't had this. I did have a couple of things at uni where I was like, I really feel like I'm back at school, because I think it is universal that in school, especially in friendships with girls, there is just hormones, there's problems, there's anxiety from like media, social media. Now I can't even imagine what teenagers deal with. But I do think that as you get older, because you get to pick your friendships, you can be quite meticulous with who's in your circle. This sounds so ridiculous, but like who you're making friends with, you can really make sure that they're someone that you want to invest your time in and invest mm-hmm. in them as a friend. And I don't think there's any shame in being like, actually, I really love these 5, 10, 3, however many people it is. I just love these people. These are my people. And I'm just going to make sure that these friendships are so positive and we give so much to each other, rather than being like, I want to make sure that everyone likes me and that I look really cool because I've got loads of friends.
Yeah.
Because that's a pressure which I think is annoyingly put on people. It's like the more friends you have, the better you are. But I feel like it must be quite, it's hard to, I've tried to sustain millions of friendships in one go, and you're just, you can't be that good a friend.
Yeah, I think you often do yourself a disservice as well. Yeah. So I know that I definitely fell into that trap when I was younger. I definitely thought that the more friends, the better, and the more popular you were seen as, and that type of thing. And now I literally could not give less of a shit. Like, yeah. I'm not interested in that type of thing, but it was a huge difficulty while kind of growing up. And I do, not to kind of judge other people's friendships, but there do seem to be some people who manage to do that and have huge groups of friends. Whereas now, I used to be someone who loved having so many different yeah. friends and would see like a different person every day in the holidays, and like would absolutely love that and would get so many different things out of these different people, hang out with different groups and that type of thing. And now I honestly could not think of anything more terrifying yeah. and hard to maintain. And I think that's just the nature of growing up and getting yeah. busier as well, is just keeping a closer circle. Even that doesn't necessarily mean you're not friends with other yeah. people, but having close friends I think is kind of very important.
And I don't want this to sound negative at all. I think what we're trying to do is just, I think there's just, people get upset, especially younger girls, and I know I've felt this before, when you feel like, why don't I have as many friends as everyone else? And I think what I just want to reassure you, what I'm learning, obviously we're still young, but it's just that you don't need to be this overly popular person. And like, popularity sounds probably really freaking stupid coming from someone who's got like a social media following, which is probably like the most narcissistic to do with pop, but you know what I mean. That isn't the be all and end all, and actually the integrity of your friendship really stands in how you act and how you behave. And one of my most favorite things is just going to sit with a friend who's got a problem. Right. I literally think I'm like a counsellor, don't I?
Yeah, you do. But in like a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Very good person to come to.
Yeah, and I like love listening to people's problems. And that's like, I just think to me, I'm like, oh, I love these. Like, I want to be, the kind of friend that I am is like quite like being like a motherly friend.
Yeah.
I'm quite a mum as a friend. Whereas other people, that you've got to just work out what is important to you in friendship. Conversely, going the other way, a lot of you said, like, I have no friends. I've left uni. All my friends have abroad, or you've fallen out with whoever for whatever reason. You've just grown up. So what do you do? Obviously, me and Grace met through social media.
Mm-hmm.
It was just random. We met at Abby's competition, didn't we?
Yeah. So it was completely, like, out of nowhere, and then started to hang out as a group with people, and then our relationship blossomed, and now we're in love.
Yeah. Well, we just got closer and closer, and it was... The thing with that is, it was actually a really organic friendship, and it did take a while for us to get close. Like, we're actually, like, properly close friends now, but at the beginning it was just kind of like, oh, we're friends.
It's like, oh, we get on well.
Yeah, exactly. And we'd, like, hang out and do stuff, and now it's like, actually, we come over and, like, you come over for cups of tea.
And I think I think it's so important to realise that often, yes, while it's, like, so horrible seeing people with, like, these amazing friends, and you're sitting there thinking, like, I do not have a single friend like that. And I think everyone's been through at least stages like that and I do think as well that these things take time too, just like, it's not like with a sort of relationship where you might meet someone, go on a few dates, and then you're in a relationship. It's not necessarily like that. It can take a lot more time to kind of cultivate and to kind of blossom into a proper friendship, and that's not necessarily a problem, and can also bring more, like, stronger friendships and that type of thing. And I do, maybe if we had really tried to be friends at the beginning and been like, oh, like, come around for this, or let's go for dinner and things like that. And I find people I've done that with in the past, actually,
and then it fizzles out.
Yeah, or you talk about one thing and realise you actually don't agree, and then you think, oh, well, we're probably not actually going to be that great friends. We just rushed into it, like, and thought we were going to be friends.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it's, I think, actually just finding your ground within, like, your within friendships and that type of thing is so important. It might take a long time.
Yeah, it's also, like, timing and like, situation. So for me, situationally, like, me and Grace met, and, like, we're in a similar industry, and we just grew, and our, clearly, the way that our minds were going, whatever, it was very similar. Whereas there'll be people that I've grown up with from school who I'll meet now, and I've really got on with them, but I'm like, I wouldn't actually be your best friend, just because I really don't get with, like, your life trajectory or what's going on. And the problem is, everyone seems to think, like, you've got to make friends with people who you've known for ages. Or I think a lot of people harbour fears of, like, almost, like, post-traumatic stress from, like, having, like, bitchy... I know people who are just like, I'm so scared of these relationships, but I do think girls grow up and change. 100%. And now you'll meet someone and you'll be like, oh my God, I thought you were a bitch, and you're actually amazing.
I've had that a lot, that I've actually had huge preconceptions. Not really preconceptions, because I've known them before.
Yeah.
But thought, oh, well, they were a bit bitchy, or, like, a bit too popular at school, you know, like, they're probably actually just not that nice people, that type of thing. And then as soon as you actually talk to them and you go, like, well, actually, this person's so nice and probably just grew up. And actually, I think giving people second chances as well, in terms of reaching out to older friends, that type of thing, and just being like, hey, like, do you want to go for coffee? Or, like, how are you? At least, you know, just, like, starting a conversation, that type of thing. I had that the other day, and I was so shocked. I was like, is this person messaging the right person? And then I was like, actually, this is so nice.
Yeah.
Have a little chat,
it is,
you know?
Nice.
But I think also along the lines of the kind of I have no friends thing, I think so many people on... I've seen so many people on social media kind of with that type of issue, especially... So I have workout guides, and they have a huge community attached to them of the people who do them, so there are something like 17,000 people who do them now, and that's obviously created a huge community. And the amount of people who have made friends through, like, something like that, I will not always kind of champion the effects of social media and say, like, it's amazing, and especially being, like, a social media person, we know how detrimental it can be for so many things, not only for the audience but also for the kind of influencers themselves. But I do genuinely think that through social media you may well make some incredible friends, and it can be like a Tinder for friends.
I agree.
just because you might find someone who, even if your only kind of thing that you meet over is the fact that you do the same workout guide, maybe you also have these other interests, because let's face it, no one's completely only into fitness.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Every fitness person also has like a background of like yeah, exactly. And that type of thing is really like, you never know, and you might have 20 people who you try and be friends with who never work out, and the 21st one might be your next best friend forever.
Well, that's,
you know,
like, friends are, it's so funny because my group of school friends, obviously we grew up, we're quite similar, but my girlfriends from uni, there's a group, there's like 5 of us, and we literally are all so different. We all have really different career paths, quite different like fashion sense, like everything we do is so different, but we were just bonded in this really close friendship. We like love each other so much, we're really good friends. And that, for me, I was like, this is weird. Because I remember being like, they don't look like someone that I think I'm going to be friends with.
Right.
One of the girls in my friendship group, I actually went to school with, she's like one of my best friends now. We weren't friends at school at all. And we got to uni on the first day. And she was like, hi, are you there? And I was like, hi, yeah. And then we were just best friends. And we literally barely spoke at school. It was so weird.
And I think that happens a lot. I've known a lot of people that, especially you see crop up on social media and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, those two people are friends. I never would imagine that. But actually, I think one of the great things about moving out of the kind of school type friendship or uni type friendship is that there isn't this kind of hierarchy. It's more like everyone's just out in this big like plane of friendships, all attached to different people. And it's literally just you are friends with who you want to be friends with, who makes you happy, who supports you, that type of thing, or who you just have fun with all the night out. And that is absolutely fine. And that should be kind of, you might be friends with someone who you absolutely hated at school, and you might have absolutely hated them because maybe like you were jealous of them, or maybe you were actually exactly the same and so you did
clash.
That's
always a problem.
But maybe now it would be an amazing thing to be friends. I think one really key thing is just taking the leap.
Yeah.
In terms of just reaching out to people.
And I think, like, being freed from the school bubble as well, one of the biggest, like, reliefs for me was no one knew what I was like. And I'm such a loud person at school. I was particularly bad. Like, I was quite naughty. I was doing all my work, but it's quite naughty lesson. I was always, like, the class clown and, like, a bit of an attention seeker. And when I went to uni, no one knew that. So I still was actually a massive attention seeker in first year. But I think I've grown out of it now, maybe. Anyway, but it just meant that I could be this person without kind of anyone else, even though also all these preconceptions about myself, no one else was actually saying them. I was self-imposing what I thought other people thought about me and then being that person. No one was actually being like,
I have this as well.
You're this.
Sure. I think as an extroverted person, you often do. You get given a kind of label, you would adopt that label and
then you
decide
just are
you
it.
Are that label.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Well, I had a really weird thing that I was extremely, extremely, extremely like underconfident at school. Not openly, because I'm really extroverted, but I was so self-conscious and like cripplingly so. And actually, one of my best friends ever that I've actually been friends with since I kind of moved to London, who is Alicia.
Yeah.
We actually used to fall out about the fact that I was so self-conscious that it would actually,
it got
to a point where it was like more self-absorbed, self-conscious in the way that it was kind of like, no, but I can't do this because I don't look like this.
Or
it actually like ended up consuming everything. And I think also when you then have like a dynamic of friendship where potentially they're the louder one and you're the quieter one, or you're the more confident one, or whatever it is, you then might be completely different in another friendship.
Yes.
And I feel like I've had that a lot from school or from sick form, that type of thing. If I was often, I feel like as much as I was loud and stuff, I feel like I was always like the kind of underdog and more would like tag along. I would never be the one to make plans. I'd be so scared that I would like make plans and they wouldn't pull through.
Yeah.
And that would like affect my self-confidence so much.
I was always that person.
Now it's so weird then when I feel like I see old friends and I see them and you automatically go back into what you would be with them or what type of person you are.
Oh, I've done that.
But I'm not like that at all. And then you kind of
to make a fool of yourself.
Exactly. And you kind of act in certain ways, or you find yourself saying things and find them looking a bit surprised and you're like, God, they don't actually know me.
Yeah.
They know like what I was. And I feel like I don't think I've changed, but I clearly, at least in my role I play like with friendships, that type of thing, I'm more kind of carefree in terms of like if someone wants to be friends with me, cool. If they don't,
Yeah. Cool. Well, this is I think what's really important is if you do feel like you've got no friends, or you do have friends but you want to make new friends, I think the most important thing you've got to do is go out on your own stuff, because the problem, I think you do this a lot when you're younger, is you always have to have like people with you or surrounding you, like, yeah, to give you this confidence boost. But when you're an adult or when you're growing up, I think you can learn so much about yourself by being your own entity within a situation. For instance, like you're saying, people that come to like Grace's meetups on their own, or people that come to my book club, often always come on their own. And I said this about my retreat as well. People are like, should we come on your own? I'm like, I actually think you're going to get a better experience out of this.
If because you come by yourself. Yeah.
When you come with friends, all friends, like, create, it could be your bestest friend in the world, but sometimes you've just got to be a version of you that you want to explore, or like have a different kind of, you're allowed to be a multidimensional person. You don't always have to be, I'm quite, in a group, I'm really loud. If you get me on my own, I'm so quiet. I always just have a DMC.
Unless you, yeah.
But you put me in a room and I'm so, and it's weird because I don't even know that I'm doing it.
It's both of us. I think it's our like coping mechanism, yeah, as well. So I'm a like introverted extrovert or an extroverted introvert, either one.
Yeah.
Where I have quite bad social anxiety going into situations, yeah, where I don't know anyone.
So you,
I'm very happy making friends with people, but that first step, or that kind of, I think people are, think the worst of people, in not like in a mean way, but in the way that I always think they're not gonna like me, or that I'm gonna annoy them, or that type of thing, or that they don't want to talk to me, and so I'll never make that first like leap. And then as soon as they'll talk to me, I'll be like talking about poo 2 seconds,
yeah,
later. Like, I'm so,
I do
as
this.
In, not as my like go-to conversation, but as in like I'm so open, like will be literally acting as if I'm like their best friend 2 seconds later.
Do you know what I do, which is really funny, that I used to think was really helpful? Because I'm quite loud, I always thought that I could like break attention in a room, or like make people feel more comfortable. So I always sweat, and for some reason, whenever I went, especially if it was like a job interview or something, I'd always be really nervous. So say there's like a room of people waiting, I'd always walk in and be like, oh my god, I'm so sweaty. And I used to think that people would find that like really endearing and like break the ice, and it's like so funny, and she doesn't give a crap because she's sweating. And actually, someone was like, it's actually quite intimidating because you just walk in, you're like, I'm sweating, and some people just don't want to talk to you. And I used to think that everyone needs to be brought out their shell, and everyone,
right,
surely wants to talk.
I think we're very similar.
But people, some people just don't.
I know we've had this talk recently, that I've actually fallen out with a few friends recently in terms of kind of, I think, being an extrovert, and this sounds so silly because I think as much as being an introvert seems to be kind of like, has been recently very glamorized, and I've seen online and be like, oh well, I wish I was like a like lovely little introvert, and but there's me like yelling about like, I don't know, my sex life or something.
Yeah.
And whereas I do feel like I've actually fallen out with some friends over the past year who have basically said kind of, you can be extremely intimidating, and like
it's
sometimes you, yeah, exactly. And I've always kind of known that, but I feel like as you get older, people will actually say it to,
yeah,
you as well. And so I think I've always thought in the past that maybe if people don't like me, it will be because, I don't know, I'm not cool enough or like something like that. But maybe it's because I literally am just so, like,
just too
can
much.
Just be too much sometimes.
Yeah.
And for some, and that's absolutely fine, because for some people like us two, that'll be like, if we didn't have, we need to be on that kind of,
yeah,
level with each other, otherwise we'd end up.
It's funny because actually it's so true. If you've met us together, we're like so loud, and then literally you've had us, we've been in my lounge for like 3 hours, and we've just sat with a cup of green tea and just talked.
Right, exactly.
Really quietly,
exactly.
And really,
and then,
like, we're so not. And I think it is a bit of a coping mechanism.
We need it to balance each other out, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because I feel like, and then I feel like if I'm with someone who's kind of more introverted by themselves, that's absolutely fine. Like, I have absolutely no problem with that, but I feel like sometimes I often come across very, I don't know, I don't think many introverted people that I've met have automatically wanted to be,
yeah,
my friend.
Some people, it's,
whereas
just like,
I think we,
yeah,
would
we
kind
get
of
on.
Think like, yeah, exactly.
But I think as well, it's like all about energies. And so, funny enough, although I love being around people, I actually really can't, I need to like be on my own after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like being in my own space, like really happy with my own company. And I've talked about this before a bit about loneliness, but then there's other people who really struggle being on their own because they don't like their own company, but feel like they have no one. And the best way to meet someone is to just go and do something that you think you're going to like. And there is no shame in turning up to something on your own.
Right.
And just putting yourself out there, because the best way to make friends, I always say this about boyfriends as well, you'll always get girlfriends, like we'll all go to the weirdest place. I remember once I really wanted to just kiss a boy because I broke up with my ex, I was really upset. So we all went to Inferno. So if anyone's been to Inferno's in Clapham, it's disgusting. And I made my friends walk around with me for 2 hours just trying to find one guy just to kiss because I thought it was going to mend my broken heart. So I was so upset. Infernos is the most disgusting night. It's really fun. The music lulls, but your feet stick to the floor and all the guys in there are like trying to get with someone. Why on earth would I go there? I wouldn't even go there. Like, I don't even like it there. But I was like, this is great. I'll go this there. I ended up crying at McDonald's, by the way, because I didn't snog anyone. So I just sat there crying at McDonald's. I hadn't got to neck anyone. And Infernos, if you're going to get with someone, Infernos is the one. And then you think about it and you're like, what? Like, I'd be better off going to a library and trying to get with someone because I actually like libraries.
And like people who are in libraries.
Yeah, and like people who are in libraries. Or go to a museum or do something that I'm going to find.
Where you're attracted to
people. Or even
people.
A gym. Like, that would make sense. Not Infernos. And I feel like we do the same thing with friendships or like put ourselves in really weird situations with people that we are so not going to get on with because we fantasize that, about the idea of like...
Or that assume that's where you go to the friendship shop.
Like, we're going to be such good friends. And actually, there's like... The people that I've made really long-lasting, sustaining friendships are just people that I've interacted with in a really random situation or someone maybe that I wouldn't expect to be friends with because you just connected on a level. I think a lot of the time, especially in friendship groups with girls, there'll always be like some girls you really, really want to be friends with because they're like the really cool ones. But there's no such thing as like a cool friend. Like, being cool is just isn't cool.
Yeah, as in it's more like if you connect on a sort of deeper level. And
spiritual
as soon as you drop that kind of, like putting what you expect, the type of person you'd expect to be friends with, as soon as you kind of drop that like label / assumption, then you will actually find someone that perhaps you would never think that you would be friends with.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is so true as well about the fact that you need to go to places and interact, like go to places that you would ideally go to if you were by yourself and wanted to have a good time, because that's what the other people who you might want to attract in terms of friendships will also be doing, if because that's what the type of thing they'd actually want to do, and there are no kind of false pretenses.
Exactly. And also I'm actually really good at this because my mum, she talks to everyone. But if you see someone on their own, speak to them. I'm really annoying in that I'll be in a queue or something and I just want to talk to the person in front of me. I've just decided that I'm going to talk to them. So I'll just make a comment. I'll be like, or like, you know, say something, have they spill something. I'll always be like, oh, you spilled it. And then I'll like make friends because it's just something my mum always does and I really enjoy it. But you're never offended if someone just comes up and talks to you. If there's someone sitting on their own, you can just go and sit with them and talk to people. I don't know where this idea of shame, and the other problem is, as much as social media is amazing, I think it's so freaking problematic, not least because you see these people out with their friends all the time. They're at every party, and if you're not getting invited to parties, that can be one of the most disheartening things.
Or if you are but you don't have anyone close to go with, so you don't want to like turn up alone, because there's nothing worse than being alone in a group, you know, like big group of people that you actually know but don't know.
There's a younger girl that I follow on Instagram who's really sweet, and she once put up a story like crying because she saw that all her friends have gone to this party and she hadn't gone. And that is so sad, because we didn't have this at school. Like, if you didn't get invited to a party, well, you wouldn't really know what happened, because there's no such thing as like Snapchat or Instagram stories. But that makes it so much harder now.
I remember that was kind of towards the end of my, like, in sick form and stuff, there were Snapchat stories and stuff. And I do know so many times where you'd been, like, cancelled on and, like, I'm sick.
Yeah, and it's
proper
devastating.
Mean girl style. And then they'd be, like, at fucking Winter Wonderland, waving candy around.
And but the other important thing is social media, so much of it is what we want other people to see. And
absolutely.
As an influencer, it's funny, you'll put more stress on as an influencer to be real, inverted commas, than you are as a normal person, which I think is really something I didn't realise until I was like talking to friends about posting pictures, and they were like, I get loads of anxiety, like, do you not feel stressed? And I was like, weirdly, as an influencer, I think you actually feel less worried, because you kind of know that picture's going to get however many likes and it's going to get engagement because people follow you and they're not like your actual, well, you have friends on there, but they're not your actual friends. Whereas when it's a personal Instagram account, people can be quite like sneaky, and they can project lives both in a negative way that might hurt you, but also because maybe they're suffering from something which is they're concealing with this fake platform. And no one really ever asks, like on my personal profile, no one's being like, why are you posting this? Like, this isn't real. As influencers, there's a demand that you have to kind of be honest and be open and be real, but there's nothing that doesn't exist like that, like within real friendships.
Yeah. There's also like a kind of middle ground there, because obviously there is that whole thing of influencers, like a lot of influencers
causing problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of influencers, I feel, as much as we like to be as real as possible, there are a lot who will even their real isn't
oh
real,
right but know? What I mean is there's a call to act, like people want influencers to be real,
right. Oh, okay.
But no
so
one's
is,
like yeah
you get validation yeah. from being real
no
well.
One's like looking within their friendship. So you might be sat at home being like, I'm so upset, like I've got no friends, all my friends are doing this, but they could all be fucking lying as well. And it's just, I don't know why, it's really difficult. And this is why you've got to also put your phone down, stop looking at your friends' pictures, and just like text someone.
Yeah, just text them.
Just do it, like, right now.
Now.
Just anyone that you want to speak to. Maybe you're like, so-and-so hasn't texted me for ages, and I really want to speak to her, and she's out doing something. Just get your phone.
Even if you think, because actually I've had one thing recently where I thought I'd kind of fallen out more with a friend. And I kind of wouldn't start a conversation, not out of pride, but more the fact that I was like, I guess we're not really friends now. And we just kind of decided that that wasn't what we'd kind of just fallen out. And then just like a lovely text, just like, hey, like, I know we've drifted, but like,
oh,
I'd love
God.
To see you or something. And that made me so happy.
There's nothing worse than, I do this, you get in your own head and you make up shit.
Right.
You're like, they haven't spoken to me. Oh, they're probably annoyed about this. Lala. And you see them and then, I've done this where I've literally made up a whole thing and I've convinced myself so strongly that they don't like me. And then the next time you see them, they're fine.
Exactly.
For no reason.
So just even if you think there's that person, in fact, if you think there is that person, go out of your way to
And also,
them.
If you think someone's annoyed, I think the best thing in friendships you can ever do is be like, look, have I upset you? I can't, I'm very, very bad at playing games because I always lose.
I think we're both like
So
this.
The best thing to do is just lay your cards out on the table. If anything's, just say it how it is.
Same in relationships.
And in relationships, you just can be like, look, clearly you're fucked off at me. Can you just tell me what it is? Don't try and play like one-upmanship.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing you can do in a friendship ever, is been like, yeah, maybe I was a bit shit. I'm really sorry. But can we get through this? Can we be friends? I understand my mistakes. Not like, yeah, no, everything's fine. Yeah, no, don't worry, okay. Yeah, it's fine. Like, don't do that. It's
doing both of you a disservice as well.
It's just like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly. Good saying.
Thank you.
We love sayings. You got lots of good sayings. Did you get them from your parents?
I don't know, actually. I think I just read loads as a child.
But I don't have good sayings.
I do like a good saying.
I think just in general as well, just as a thing to say, because like it makes me really sad, obviously, when people are like, you know what, like talking about friendships, yeah, talking about the problems within friendships, yeah, but I literally have no friends like that. And I think that is, it can be often like the people who are lonely as well are the people surrounded by the most people.
Yeah, I agree.
Or who appear to be the most kind of friendly,
popular.
But will never have a single friend that they can like go to
trust
about certain things, or like new friends that they actually see eye to eye with and they actually have similar beliefs with. Because often you can be brought up with only people who are from the same background and or even from the same like area, things like that, but usually from the same kind of area of society.
Mm.
And often you won't actually sympathize with their beliefs at all. And I think if you're kind of stuck in that, it can be really, really difficult. I think one of the main things in general, I mean, I'm very, very young, so I feel like it's, I can't really like,
but you can still give anecdotal advice.
But exactly. I think in general, it's so, so important. Like, literally, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
From you going to, say, if you like music or like singing or something, go join a choir. Like, it might be, like, as in something
people.
Like that, or go join a netball club.
Yeah.
Or like, go join whatever it is. Like, go paint some pottery, or go, you know, whatever it might be, a book club, a meetup, anything. That one interest might lead you to all these other people, and it made me so happy on Saturday where I did a kind of pop-up shop. The amount of people that came alone and left in huge groups or went to the pub, that type of thing, made me so happy, because I do know how it feels to kind of actually feel like you have loads of friends but have no actual
have
friends
anyone.
Or you genuinely have no friends, especially if you've moved somewhere new, that type of thing. Join organized fun, like any type of organized fun will get you talking to people, whether you want to or not, if it's a choir and netball thing, or like literally, I don't know, anything, a knitting club.
I think that my biggest piece of advice, again, I'm still young, but I've definitely had my fair share of like fallouts when I was younger and making mistakes in friendships. And now I've got such strong, and I'm so close now with all of my friends, and they're like really positive relationships. Mm-hmm. But the reason that that's happened is because I learned to like, one, not look at other people and be like, judging them and assume, but also not make assumptions about what they were going to think about me. I think one of the biggest things that holds you back from
so
making new relationships is not being like, they're going to be a bitch, or they're, it's being like, they're going to think this of me. And it's the weirdest thing we do. We will like hinder, it's survival though. It's kind of like you protecting yourself. You're like, I'm not even going to go there because I don't want to get rejected. But we make assumptions that people are going to think something about you. People are a lot nicer than you think. At the end of all of this and toxic friendship and stuff, the one thing I've learned is,
if they do think it, then let them think it and move on. Exactly. But at least you know that you gave them the opportunity to think it themselves rather than projecting that.
Exactly. But the one thing I've learned is people are always nicer than you think they're going to be. They're always kind. Like, people are so much kinder
especially
than you think.
Especially when you're older. Yeah. Because often you don't know how many people who might have been like the most popular person ever or is seen always on social media to go to every party, you don't know that they might be in exactly the same situation as you. Or have like a really niche interest that they never thought they could really talk about or like, and that type of thing.
And always be kind as well, because the people who might have bullied you at school or that person that you might have thought was really horrible, you have no idea. Like, I've grown up and I found out like friendships, you thought these people weren't that nice and actually they had hell going on at home.
Right.
And you've just always got to be kind and give people the benefit of the doubt.
Completely agree in that there is no point getting angry at any point in your day unless it's something that really, you know, really can't be helped. And of course, like, you're a human, you have emotions and stuff, but turning it around is the best thing you can ever do. Like, if someone really pisses you off or is so rude or so bitchy, even just a small like, have a lovely day, or like
that film,
or like, hey, you dropped this, or like whatever, literally just be nice. And often it could make someone else's day later in the day, because they might, I know if I'm being unnecessarily bitchy because I've had like a really bad morning,
you're
and then
hungry,
someone is really annoying me and then like bashes into me and throws something all over me, and I'd be like, I'd never actually be like that, but as in like kind of angry
internally,
and standoffish about it. I know if someone was really apologetic and really nice to me, then I would feel like such a bitch, and actually that whole day I would be so
shift
much nicer
mood
to every single person I see. And so you never know, you might really make someone else's day, no matter whether
it's like,
it, like,
have you watched that film About Time?
Sliding Doors.
No, it's called About Time.
It
no, it's a Richard Curtis film. And it's a, and you know how in the end he just relives every single day the same? You've got to imagine that you're on your second reliving of the day. So you know he like goes back in time and he just lives every single day but lives it better. And I'm like, you only get to do, not YOLO, you only get to live like every single day once, and every single interaction. You only get to live every day once. Oh, I don't know why I'm counting, because it doesn't help me know the letters.
I think it's like, yodeling. It's like the yodeling boy in Walmart.
Yeah, you get me what I'm saying.
You get me what I'm saying. Like.
But what I mean is that you don't know that sometimes you'll just meet the most wonderful people just because you happen to look up from your phone, or you just decided that that day was going to be a good day. And
Or also another huge thing that really helps making someone else's day is like paying it forward. They do it a lot in America or in Canada, in certain places. That was the hugest stereotype. But say paying for someone else's like coffee, or like, or if you see a homeless person outside a store, please just buy them something. Like,
if
even
you can
if
afford
you
to.
Of course. But if you like that, you never know how much that could make someone else's day or their
agreed
day, or even, you know, even make someone who sees that go and buy someone else a coffee or whatever it is. Just being nice is so powerful, and whether that results in friendship or whether that just makes someone's day or whether they don't even notice it, being nice, it is all about the energy
and
as well.
Yeah, you just, I think that you can make a choice just to be, I think one day I just made a choice to just be happy. Like, it literally was that simple.
Yeah.
I just was like, I'm just not gonna get.
I mean, obviously that changes for
each
person.
But there's
things.
But there was like negative things that I could really get annoyed about, and I'd be one of those people that sometimes could be quite snappy, or I'd quite easily kind of get really bought into negative feelings. And now something happens and I'm just like, okay, well, it's happened. Like, there's literally nothing you can do. And oh my God, your life is so much better.
Right.
There is no point dwelling on negative things. And you just, I think that's one of the best things you can do. And the more happy and content you feel in your own life, the easier it is to sustain really good relationships and to meet new people.
Yeah.
It all starts with
you. To be friends with yourself before being able to be friends with other people. Like, just take yourself on dates. Go paint in the park.
Yeah.
Or, like, go for a walk, or take yourself out for lunch. Lunch dates with yourself are the best thing ever.
And if you can't enjoy your own company, then no one else is going to enjoy
exactly
it. You really,
exactly.
That is so true. But yeah, I think I need a wee.
We'll Well, there we go.
Is that a good place to end?
Yeah. Great. I mean, with your wee.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to wee on a podcast.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Might make other people need a wee.
And that's always good to make friends.
Be kind.
Okay. Okay, so, well, thanks so much for listening. Do you have any final last words of wisdom?
Just date yourself. And then you can...
date yourself.
Be friends with yourself. And then you can be friends with other people.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think everything in life, it all starts with you. And sometimes that process of working out who you are can be a little bit painful.
And
but it's always worth it.
Accept that you have faults and you might do the wrong thing in a friendship, and swallow your pride and make it better, whether that's by finding new friends or making your original friendships better. Just be friends with everyone you like. Be friendly at least to everyone you can.
And
you
don't
never
be afraid
know
of making new friendships and losing
or
old ones.
Reaching out to old people as well.
So
Yeah, no, for sure.
The other thing. Go and work at a freaking old people's home. If you're like lonely and really sad, I used to volunteer at school, and oh my god, the loneliest people.
Yeah, I teach
are old people in old people's homes.
I write musicals for people with dementia.
Yeah,
and honestly,
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah,
do you go and play it to them?
No, you go and write it with them.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, actually, that's something I'd really stress doing if you can. Even just talking to homeless people. Like, there are so many people that need to be spoken to, and we just need to talk to more people.
You have no idea
more.
How many other people don't have friends or
And I basically
lonely.
Think the one thing I want you to take away from this podcast is it's not embarrassing to feel like you don't have a massive group of friends. Give a shit. You're allowed to not have... Maybe you've been through stuff in your life where you've been a carer for someone, you haven't had time, or you've had so many things going on in your life that you really haven't had time to make those friendships.
Or you've just found it hard.
Yeah.
Or you've just been a shit friend as well.
Yeah, whatever it is, everyone is entitled to be like, actually, I really need someone now. And there are so... Also, if you don't believe me, you're not the only one without a friend, because about 200 people have messaged me being like, the thing I want you to talk about is friendships. I have no friends.
Can you comment under podcasts?
They can leave reviews.
Damn.
I know.
Well, comment on Anoni's social media saying you need a friend.
Yeah.
And you can all make friends.
Yeah, that's so true.
So yeah.
And it's just not... What? Grace is just making a face at me. But yeah, it's just not embarrassing. You're allowed to have those moments. We've all had times when we've been the shit friend, when we've been treated like shit, when we've lost friends, made friends. And that's just the circle of life. I knew. This is the longest outro ever. Okay. Bye. Should we go? Because I'm really
Louie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Love you so much. Best friends. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please do rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter by us. Again, it's me, myself, and I at adulting_pod. You can follow Grace at GraceFitUK on all social media channels.
Everyone. Literally all of them.
All of the ones that
apart
you
from
want.
Tumblr.
Yeah, no Tumblr. Okay, thanks so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Bye.
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 The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.